You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
This morning, we are continuing in Summer of God's Love. Let me ask you this question once again. What is your focus of life? What is the dominant life principle that you live by? If you want your life to count, you have to focus it. There needs to be that laser energy, that laser focus. You don't have time for everything. How many would agree with that? You don't have time for everything. So you have to look at things, recognizing not everything is equal, and learn to make good decisions with your time. The Bible says this, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Make wise decisions with your time. Let me take you to Mark chapter 12. We've been here for a couple of weeks, and we'll make reference to this verse because it's the foundation of our entire series this summer. And it's when Jesus is approached, one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? And Jesus answered, the most important is, circle that, the most important. The most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. That's Jesus' words. There's no commandment greater than these. The essence of the Ten Commandments, to love God and to love people. The most important. I hope that is starting to filter through our minds down into our spirit. The most important thing in life is to love God and to love people. God leaves us on this earth. We live however long that is. We all understand this. It's appointed unto man once to die. We had a funeral here this past Monday of Marnie Ruling, one of our church members, 47 years old. That's awfully young. Do you know what? Teenagers died this week prematurely. Children died this week. I read a week ago or so where Hootie Johnson died. He was chairman of the board at Augusta National. Lead singer from Linkin Park died this week. I get the hometown newspaper. Comes out once a week, and my mom gets me a subscription to the Newton County News. And in the Newton County News, there was a man who passed away by the name of Richard Tink. He was my dad's basketball coach. He was the teacher to my mom and my dad. He died this week, 92. We're all going to face death. We don't know when that is. But the reason that God saves us, leaves us here on this earth for however many years that we are here, is for this giant life lesson. And that is that we learn how to love God and we learn how to love one another. And we keep coming back to this emphasis. We say we love God, we worship, we lift our hands, we're excited about church, but man, we struggle with that second part of learning to love others. And life isn't just loving God. It's loving God so we can love others. We're to be like God, and God so loved the world, people, everyone. In our society, life becomes about acquisition, how much I get. It becomes about accomplishment, how much I do. It becomes about achievement, how much I earn. But life's not about the car I drive. It's not about the house I live in. It's not about the clothes I wear. It's not about the job that I have. Life is about loving God and loving people. And the entrance to eternal life with Jesus has to do not with what we acquire, achieve, or accomplish, but it has to do with our character. It has to do with us. What we did when Jesus knocked on our heart, did we, by his grace, say yes? Did we learn to love the Lord? Did we grow in our love for the Lord? And did we grow in our love for people? And I would say this, anything less than that, then we wasted our life. Because that is the most important thing. We're looking at this emphasis, this idea, the priority of love. Last week, we talked about the best use of life is love. We talked about using our life to love. We'll come back and we may highlight part of that. But this morning, I want us to think about this. And I kind of rearranged the points. Last week, point number 3 in your notes was point number 1. I put it at the end. And if we have time, we may highlight a few things. So point number 2 last week is point number 1 this week. If you keep your notes and you look through them and you follow through them during the week. And I'd encourage you to do that. I text a friend of mine. He travels a lot. He attends a church. And I texted him this week and just said, hey, I hope you're having a good summer. And trust everything's going good. And he said, hey, I was just thinking about you on my flight back from Charlotte. And he goes, I'm so thankful for the church app. He goes, I listened to all your messages, and then I listened to them all again. And then he proceeded to tell me funny things that I said in one of the messages that I preached a month ago. And I thought, wow. Either that is very impactful or he is a very bored man. I don't know which one. No, I think it's awesome for us because we learn through repetition. This morning, here's the first point of emphasis. Love is best expressed with time. Now, in the context of this, 1 Corinthians 14, 1, the Bible says, pursue love. Pursue love. I always feel like I kind of have to defend this subject because we have a wrong perception. We see love as emotional, mushy, weak, when the greatest force in all the world is love. And where God allows himself in Scripture to be described in one word, not because that's all he is, but to help us in our finite mind to begin to have a grasp of the awesomeness of God. He says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He commands us to pursue love. Well, this morning, love is best expressed with time. The truth is that every one of us will learn this at some juncture in life. We'll come to understand that relationships are more important than accomplishments. See, when you're dying, when you're on your deathbed, you want people around you who love you the most. You never hear of someone saying, hey, would you drive the car up so I can just see it one more time? People don't say, man, I just wish I could leave the hospital just to see my home, what I built. When people are drawing their last breath, they don't say, hey, would you check to see how the stocks are doing today? Who do you want around you in that moment of crisis? People that you love. People that you love. I've been privileged to be with a number of people when they draw their last breath. I've been with families where we have been around the bed and we sing hymns as their mom or their dad or their grandpa or their grandma draws their last breath. And in the presence of family and love, they cross, they pass from this world to the next world. I've even experienced this time and time and time again. I know you can't make this a rule, but in a large scheme of things, I've experienced where people have said, you know, our son's flying in. And when the son flies in, when the family all gets there, then mom or dad passes. It's like they hang on till their family's there. And once the family's there, they may be unconscious, but once the family's there, it's like, okay, it's okay now. And they pass on. See, relationships are really all that we have in life. And God says that there's two relationships, there's two things that's more important, and it's our relationship with God, it is our relationship with one another. I would say this, we're bankrupt. Our life is bankrupt. I don't care how much money you got, where you've traveled, or what you've done. Our life is bankrupt without love. And if that's true, and of course it is true, if that is true, then why do relationships seem to get the short end of the stick? If we really know about love, and that loving God and loving one another and our relationships are most important, then why do we shortchange our relationships? Why don't we have time for the people that we love? Why don't we have time for the God that we love and the things of God? Why don't we have the energy for the things we love? Why does our attention go to other things? And I would say this, I think it's two things, and they go hand in hand. Number one is we get busy. We get busy with life and living life. And we're selfish by nature. We're selfish by nature. We get preoccupied with things of lesser importance. You've heard this statement before, but most people have given first-class allegiance to second-hand causes. Second-class causes. We get busy, we get overloaded, we get in a hurry, we don't have time to do what we know is the most important. We don't have time for quiet time or devotional time because we've got to rush, we've got to run. We don't have time to be in a small group. We don't have time to be in church. We don't have time to come to a Bible study on Wednesday nights. We don't have time for our wife or for our husband or for the kids. And what we tend to do is we tend to shortchange that which is most important, loving God and loving people. That's where we cut back, where in reality, that is the most important thing. Life isn't about the other stuff. It's about our relationships. And I will promise you, there is so many things that are distracting us from life, love, life with our families and with God, that in 5 years from now, they will not be important at all to us. Nothing, nothing can take the place of this most important. I know people who have all the money that they need. They have success and they have fame. And they would tell you that their relationships are so screwed up, so messed up. Again, it doesn't matter how much money you have or how famous you might be. If your relationships aren't loving and if they're not developing, wealth, fame, and success cannot take the place. And again, I come back to this. One day we're going to stand before God. And it'll be like, what did you do on earth? And it's not going to be like, tell me about your career. Tell me about your jobs. Tell me about your investments. What was your handicap? What sports did you really enjoy? It's going to be, what did you do with Jesus? Did you say yes? Did you love Jesus? And did you love people? And people's a big part of that eternity, because the Bible says that if we forgive men not their trespasses, neither can our Heavenly Father forgive us. This whole idea of loving people rather than being bitter and rather than having throwaway people is a big deal to God, because the whole thing's about loving God. And if you love God and you don't love people, you're a hypocrite. It's both. Of all the times we think that relationships, all the understanding that we have that this is good and I need to do this, but we act like relationship. We act like church, we act like relationship with God, and we act like relationships with others is something we need to make time for. And that's such a warped way of looking. I don't need to add another thing to my list. It's like, I gotta make time for relationships. No, that is what life is. It's not one onto my list. That's the priority of my list. It's all the other stuff is peripheral. Your job, everything else. My dad used to say this often. God gives you your job. You do your job to pay your bills and to support the ministry. But your first priority of life is to love God, is to be a Christ follower. Someone say amen. But we act like the job is God. No, the job's just a tool to provide. And God's not against a good living or nice things. But you got to keep it in perspective. We're here to learn to love God and to love others. And don't live with the idea, well, now I have to squeeze relationships into my schedule. I need to fit it in. No, no, no. You need to learn how to squeeze other stuff into your schedule. Relationship, relationship with God, church, relationship with your wife and your kids. People say, well, I got to spend time with my kids, so I can't be there on Sunday. I got to go spend time with my kids. No, 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 no. You got it wrong. Two things most important, God and people. Fit everything else around God's most important command. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. You spell love, T-I-M-E. And this idea that I don't have time, but what I do is I give quality time, is a bunch of bull. Love is time. Hello? Love is about time. 1 John 3:18 says, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Love is about time. It's about actions, deed and truth. It's not empty words, but it's sincere actions. What's the greatest gift that you can give? It's not diamonds, it's not chocolate, and it's not flowers. And it's maybe good on occasion to do that. It's just a thought. But the most important thing, the most important gift you can give, the most priceless gift of love is focused attention. Focused attention. Give attention. See, I'm so glad you're here today. And whenever I say, I'm glad you came to church, I'm glad you're here. You know what you're saying today? I'm going to give focused attention to the Lord. And I know it's our responsibility, but I'm happy to see you. Some people say, well, all the church wants is your money. Well, you try to do anything without money. And if you're going to have a growing, thriving church that's making a difference in the world, it's going to take money. But no. The church isn't all about money. The church wouldn't be anything if you weren't here. And I'm thankful for you, and I'm thankful that you said, I love God, and I'm going to give focused attention. Because the most precious thing you have, the most precious resource you have, is your time. We all have different amount of energy. We all have different amount of wealth. We all have a different amount of talent. We all have different amounts of personality. But we all have the same amount of time. 168 hours a week. If you happen to live till you're 80, that's 29,200 days. What are you going to do with your time? You see, every time I give you a minute of my time, I can never get that time back. I give you an hour of my time, I cannot get that time back. When I give a day of my time, I'm never going to get that day back. I can always make more money, but I can't always get more time. I have a certain amount of time, days, that have been allotted me. There's an appointed day of death that I will have, and you will have. We all have a certain amount of time, so we need to be careful how we spend our time, because we're wasting time on things that are peripheral when God says there's two things that's the most important. You give your time to a TV program, and it's an hour long. You're never going to get that hour back. My question is, was it worth it? I'm not against TV. Lord, I got up at 4:30 Thursday, Friday, Saturday, today to see what's happening with the U.S. Open. So I'm not anti, or not U.S. Open, the British Open. I'm not anti, but I'm just saying, what do you give your time to? Be careful. Because we waste so much time. I'll come back to that in just a moment. See, Jesus taught us the essence of relationship is how much we give. The Son of Man didn't come to be served, but he came to serve and to give his life, a ransom for many, for others. Guys, my wife says sometimes that I'm hard on you. And then she'll say, but I guess it's because you're a guy. I'm hard on you because I'm hard on me, and I just know how I am. But we don't get this. I didn't get it for a long time. I have some regrets about my time that I can't get back. And never allow this attitude to have a dominance in your thought process that, well, I'm a good provider. My kids, my wife, they have everything. They don't just have what they need. They have what they want. We live a very comfortable life. Don't have this mentality. I just don't get it. What more do they want? I can tell you what they want. I can tell you what they need. It's time. It's time. Look at me, Daddy. I hear those words. When that little guy, the man who led worship today when he was a little boy, and he would stand up on that couch, and I'm watching whatever sports event, and he'd take my face and say, look at me, Daddy. Pay me attention. Give me your attention. Put down the paper. Turn off the TV. Put down your phone or your iPad. Just give me some attention. You see, only you can do that. Only you can do that. Listen to me. Kids don't need more things. They need parents. They need moms and dads to show them attention, to spend time, to play with them. Dr. Swenson, one of the world's authorities on stress, made this comment. He said, I've come to believe that the speed of society is as much responsible for the problems of personal and social dysfunction as any other factor. Virtually all of our relationships are damaged by hurry. We're always in a hurry. Many families are starved to death by velocity. We walk fast, we talk fast, we eat fast, then announce, hey, I've got to run. God doesn't fit any better into our breakneck schedules than our children do. Chuck Swindoll said this, busyness destroys relationships. It substitutes shallow frenzy for deep friendship. Busyness feeds the ego, but it starves those who love us. It fills the calendar, but it fractures the family. You say, well, Pastor, how do I have more time? Life is so busy. I'm not saying what I'm about to mention. I'm very reluctant to delve into this. And I'll just tell you what national averages are. And perhaps it doesn't fit you whatsoever, and that's great. And let God and let the Holy Spirit speak to you about what you need to do to focus more on what is most important, and that's loving God and loving your family and loving others. It's putting God and His work and His kingdom first in your life, and then others right there with it. TV. And the reason I'm reluctant to delve in is because I don't want this to sound legalistic. But national averages are through media, social media, and entertainment. We spend 5 to 6 hours on Amazon Prime, Netflix, TV. Social media gets about 2 hours a day. The article I read suggested this. It suggested that we spend 5 years and 4 months of our lifetime on social media, if you carry this through for your lifetime, and you spend 7 years, or we spend 7 years, 8 months watching TV, whether it be movies, Netflix, whatever, which says we spend 13 years of our life on media. When you put it in those kind of perspectives, it's like, my lands. When I read that, I just said, I shut the TV off. I shut the TV off. I told Liz I wouldn't say this. So Liz is over with Growth Track this morning, and I apologize, Liz, for saying this. But when I read this, I thought, oh God, I shut the TV off. I was watching fights. I shut it off and I said, Liz, come in here. She said, what? I said, let's play a game. And we played a game for an hour. I was like, I could watch this and it'd be fine, I suppose. She was busy working on Growth Track, but it was like, Holy cow. I don't want to simply be consumed with this stuff. It's like we have so much distraction. Does this relate with anybody this morning? I'm just saying, let's think about how can we create more time? And how can we not leave out what is the most important? What's the most important? The things of God, being in church with your family, having a devotional life, loving God, placing priority, loving your family, spending time with your family, then fit the other things in. Did they say amen? Or was that like, help me, Jesus? See, the truth is there are folks here today that are probably time-starved in relationships. Something has to change. Something has to change for your home, for your marriage. Something has to change for your relationship with God. You say, my relationship's not what I want it to be. Then something's got to change. This is the most important thing, is to be with God, to place priority on what He places priority on. Love is action. It's not an emotion. It's not an emotion. Let me take us back to a couple of weeks ago. You can't command an emotion. Be happy. Be sad. We tell our kids that. You be happy right now. I said so. You better be sad. You're in trouble. You be sad. At least you act sad right now. Well, you can't command it. You can fake it, but you can't command it. And God commanded us to love God, and He commanded us to love one another. And that's not based on how we feel. That's based on an action. It's based on a commitment to place priority on what He places priority, what He places priority on. Everyone has a dominant life principle. It's either money or it's pleasure, comfort. Fun. What is your dominant life principle? It's to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbors yourself. Amen. Lord, I love you. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that touches our hearts. Sometimes we just get things backwards, and we place priority on our work. And so, therefore, God and family take back seats. I thank you for the jobs that everyone has. We understand that our job does not define really who we are. It's just simply how you've gifted us to be able to provide for our families and to provide for the kingdom of God. But really, it's about the things of God, and it's about loving people. And then everything else fits in around that. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to love you, to love one another. In Jesus' name, amen.